All right, in Matthew 24:25 is the Olivet Discourse. And our Lord talks about the end days, the end time, about the temple, about the tribulation. So as we go through the beginning of Matthew chapter 24, gives all the things that are going to transpire during the tribulation period. So just keep in mind that this stuff happens during the tribulation period. There are things that will lead up to it, but this happens during the tribulation period. So we're going to start in verse 32. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When its branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, you know that summer is nigh. So likewise ye, when you shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. For that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Now before I get into verse 37, let me say, one of the initial things that I can remember that really sparked my interest in the Bible is a roommate at Purdue University gave me the book, The Late Great Planet Earth. How many have ever read Hal Lindsey's book, The Late Great Planet Earth? Okay, that dates us because that was a long time ago when he wrote that, and it was popular. Now, he makes a statement, and a lot of these men preach on prophecy that they make statements that are conjecture, is not sure what they mean, but he made a statement that when Israel became a nation in 1948, that generation would not pass, and so we're going to have to live a long time if that generation is not going to pass, because it's now been a long time, 70 years, 72 years, 3 years. So that's really, I don't think, the meaning, but it's talking about during that tribulation period when all those things begin to happen, the Jews should wake up. And the book of Matthew particularly is a Jewish book. It has particularly the early Christian Jews in mind and the nation of Israel. What happened then is when the tribulation begins and all these signs come about, and by the way, one of the things that's going to happen is they're going to set up the abomination of desolations. That has not happened yet. There are a lot of things that we could say they're already taking place, but it's going to be different during the tribulation period. And just like the fig tree buds, you know it's going to bring forth fruit. When all those things happen, it should be a sign to the people alive that this generation is not going to pass. This is going to come quickly in our lifetime. Now, the temperature of things at the time the attitude in those days is going to be like the days of Noah. This is not really part of the series on Hebrews, but it's sort of a second part of the life of Noah. So let's go back to verse 37. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. And let me stop there before we read on. We think in terms of the rapture. For the church, for the Christian, we're looking forward to that day when the trumpet sounds. We don't need any signs. We just listen for the trumpet and we'll be caught up. Amen. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. But there's also the coming of the Lord to the earth, particularly in view of the Jew. And at the end of the 7 years of tribulation, our Lord comes back to the earth and sets up a millennial kingdom. And that's what we're referring to. And during that tribulation hour, it's going to be like the days of Noah. Now, I don't think it happens all at once. There'll be things that lead up to that. The culture will look similar. But you can imagine if all the saved people left this earth right now, what would the world look like? It would be chaos. That restraint of the church of God is gone. People can literally do whatever they want to do. And that will be like the days of Noah. Let's go on. We'll start verse 37 again. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark. There's nothing wrong with any of the things mentioned in that verse necessarily, but they did so without reference to God. They went about their daily routine, their daily business. But we know they didn't listen to the message from Noah. We know that there was violence and wickedness on the earth, so great that God said, we're going to have to destroy mankind from the earth. That's what it will be like, that people will go about their business in a secular way, in a humanistic way, without reverence to God. In our country, in many countries of the world, that's where we are. We're going into more of a humanistic society where people, they don't want to hear anything about God, anything about religion. And so the people will be like in the days of Noah, verse 39, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. And well, we'll read the next couple of three verses. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken, the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken, the other left. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. In the rapture, the same thing will be true, that one person will be taken in the rapture and another who's not saved will be left behind for the tribulation period. But at the end of the tribulation period, one of the things that's going to happen, like in the days of Noah, the flood came and took away the unsaved.
Right.
And that is what will happen. People will be taken away into judgment. Those that are saved will enter into the kingdom, the thousand-year millennial reign. But the thing we want to talk about tonight is as in the days of Noah. It's going to be like the days of Noah when the Lord comes back. And as I said, some of the things will develop during the tribulation period that will not exist before the tribulation period. The rapture could happen at any moment. It's imminent. And I personally believe it's going to be very closely related to the beginning of the tribulation period. We don't know that for certain, and I wouldn't stake my life on it, but it really seems that would only make sense, because once the church is gone, there's no evangelism that can take place until the tribulation period. There'll be 144,000 Jewish single men that go all over the world. People say from every nation, the two witnesses, that doesn't happen until the tribulation period. So I can't believe that there would be much of a break between the rapture and the beginning of the tribulation period. So our text comes after the great tribulation has occurred. But the significant thing about that day and hour will be the culture will be like it was in the days of Noah. In Romans 15 and verse 4, it says, whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. Then one of the things that, and you've heard this before, one of the things we learn from history is that we don't learn from history. We repeat the same mistakes. We see what happened, we hear what happened, we read what happened, but we don't heed and change so that it doesn't happen to us. The fall of Rome was more internal than it was external. Why? High taxes, corruption, immorality, living for pleasure, and it all happened internally. And that's happening in many places in the world. The things that are recorded here are not in great detail, but the things that we do know is there was violence during the time of Noah. Had to be gangs, groups of people, anarchists.
Right.
I mean, there had to be a number of things that probably some of it we wouldn't even understand. But violence and hatred and strife, there was no presence of God in their lives. They rejected the message of God. And that's what it would be like if you take away the gospel, take away the word of God. There are five things that we're going to present to you tonight that are similar to the days of Noah. And I'll give them to you and then we'll go into each one. And that is the practice of mankind. What did man do? What was the behavior of man? Secondly, their perception of God. How did they feel toward God? What was their thought of God? And then thirdly, their pronouncement of God. What did they say about God? And then the provision of God. And then finally, the plea of God. So we'll talk about each one of them. The days of Noah, and we'll compare that to the days we live in today. If we go back to Genesis chapter 5, it says, every imagination of the thoughts of his or man's heart was only evil continually. The Hebrew word imagination, not only the imagination, but the purpose and their desires. Everything they lived for was evil, selfish, and wicked. What a place that must have been to live in. You wonder how Noah could survive. Wonder how he could live in a day like that. You see why he's called a man of faith, because he lived in an environment that was totally wicked. One of the ways Satan works in people's lives, even Christians' lives, is imaginations that come into the mind, thoughts that come into the minds. If they're not under control of the Holy Spirit, they can go wild, and people can act upon thoughts and imaginations and impulses. Imagine if every thought you ever had, you acted out. Wow. That would be horrible. That's the way it was in the time of Noah. Whatever came to mind, that's what they did. Reckless, sinful. Verse 11, Genesis 6 says, the earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. Now, there's always been violence. There's always been war, it seems like. But it was filled with violence. I remember in elementary school, we were the school was in a rural area, a country area. It was a small school. There were people that were Christians that taught in the school. There was Christian influence. And yet there were those that seemed like they're always getting in a fight, just the way it was. But that was not permeated throughout the school. It was a rare thing. And there are situations we'd point to and say there's violence. But imagine if it was so permeating our society, it was a continual thing. It wasn't just some other city. It wasn't just Chicago. It wasn't just Washington, D.C. It wasn't just San Francisco. But murders were happening frequently everywhere, every suburb, every rural area. That's the kind of thing that was happening during that time. So, in other words, they were busy with all the things that you would think people should do. They marry, they eat, they drink, they give in marriage. They're growing up. The children get old enough. They get married. Now you have grandchildren. But all without reference to God. It was totally a humanistic society. It had no time for God, no thought for God. They refused the message that Noah preached. There had to be people that heard it, maybe not everyone, but many people heard it. Not one person responded. Well, you know, he wouldn't be invited to speak at the Sword of the Lord because he didn't have any converts. He wouldn't be asked to write a paper and invited to preach at some big church because it looked like a failure. But he was the only one doing it. He was the only preacher. And he was a preacher of righteousness. So they refused to believe the gospel message. They were outside the place of safety from God's judgment. One of the great sermons that maybe you read it even before that happened in the Great Awakening was Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. And the Puritan preachers were very tough on sin. And the way he described it, the way Jonathan Edwards described it, is, you know, you're held over the judgment of God by a spider's web. And at any moment, you could drop into hell. And people grabbed the pillars of the building for fear of falling into hell at any moment. There was such conviction. But see, they were outside of that place of safety. When the flood came, they were destroyed. Anybody that rejects God, they may think, oh, they may make fun of Christianity, they may mock Christianity, but they're the ones that someday have to stand before God and give account of their life. You see why they have a cancel culture today? They want to get rid of Christian voices. And they will lump everybody together. They make it sound like a Christian has a bandana and a machine gun going around ready to kill people. Nothing could be further from the truth. And anything that happens that they can associate to Christianity, they put it all together. And they make it sound like in our country, this is something new. Christianity is trying to infiltrate. Well, it was established in our country. That's how it began. That's why people came to America. But we live in a day where people are repudiating that. And, you know, you can't help but every day read some article or hear something in the media that is anti-Christian, that is against God. And the reason is they want to cancel anything that has to do with God. See, we are headed in that direction where if the rapture occurred, we're there already. If you take away the salt of the earth, we're there. Like in the days of Noah. Now, as a Christian, we have nothing to fear. We're not worried because the rapture, we're taken away. We're going to have a big meal, marriage supper of the Lamb. We're going to have fellowship. But people are left on this earth. Wow, the tragedy of what you read, it's inconceivable of the great tribulation period. Also, they were unconvinced, unpardoned, unconverted, and unsaved. All their purposes, all their desires, everything they lived for was evil and of their own human making. Violence widespread throughout the country. Well, we live in a day where we're seeing, maybe not to the extent it was in the day of Noah. Well, it's not to the extent it was in the days of Noah. But you can imagine if the rapture occurs, we're right there. There's enough evil and ungodliness that it would take over absolutely everything that's being done. The problem today is man is too busy for God. That was a problem in the days of Noah. We're just too busy. We don't have time for that. You know, I've got to work. You know, the day of Sunday, the Lord's Day, everything's open. Everybody's shopping. Everybody's going through business like God doesn't exist. That's the day in which we live. Too busy for God. Buying, selling, drinking, marrying, eating. All those things are being done today, like in the days of Noah. Man is ignoring God's warning of judgment that is coming. People will mock all that hellfire and brimstone. Oh, they think they're better than everybody else. That's the tendency of what you hear publicly. Certainly on social media and the media itself. But we need only to read and hear the daily news reports. All you got to do is just pick up any means of communication today. And that's what we hear. We don't need God. Time has not changed or improved the sinful condition of man. Think about this for a second. Even after the judgment occurred, the flood came, Noah and his three sons and their wives all came off the ark. You know what they brought with them? Their old nature. They're still sinners. They were not perfect. And we see something that occurred in Noah that's rather questionable. That, you know, he drank of the vine and got drunk and showed nakedness. There was a curse upon Ham because of it. They brought their sinful nature with them. And it didn't take an awful long time, but we begin to see man had his own ideas of God and they're going to build a tower. And, you know, there's through history, you see again that same line. When people forget God, live as though there is no God, evil and violence occur. Romans chapter 3 and verse 9. Maybe you could. Well, I'll just give you. I've got kind of a long message here and I don't want to bog things down. But I'll kind of highlight each of those verses in Romans 3, starting in verse 9. The Jews and Gentiles are all under sin. There is none righteous. No, not one. Verse 10. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. There is no fear of God before their eyes. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Verse 23. All the world is guilty, subject to judgment, in other words, before God. All those things outlined by Paul to the Romans tell us that's the way it's always been. That this is the nature of man. And man, apart from intervention of God, just does evil. He does what he wants to do. The guilt of sin applies to all mankind. We are a sinner by nature. And as because we have a sin nature, what do? We sin. That's the nature of man. And it requires the intervention of God to save a soul. When a person is saved, they get a new nature. They now have a power within that they did not have before, so that they can live more like Christ. And as we feed the new nature, it gets stronger. The old nature diminishes. If we don't feed the new nature, then the old nature tends to grow, even after a person is saved. But the first step for salvation is receiving forgiveness through repentance and faith in the shed blood of Christ at Calvary. Acts 17, he said, "Now God repenteth every man to repent." Every man everywhere to repent. "Except you repent," Luke said, "you shall all likewise perish." That was something that didn't happen in the days of Noah. But fortunately, the day we live, there are still people getting saved. Thank the Lord. We had two people baptized today. Praise God for that. That's a wonderful thing. God's still working in people's lives. Thank God for these girls that sang tonight. That's God working in their lives. That was a blessing. We had somebody in junior church saved this morning. Trust in the Lord as their Savior. I mean, this is still happening. Other churches are seeing souls saved. During the tribulation period, there are going to be souls saved. Out of every nation, there's going to be thousands and thousands of people that do get saved in the tribulation period. And unfortunately, many of them are going to lose their life because they won't take the mark of the beast. Now, it's another thing that is going to be a little bit unique to the tribulation hour. People will have to wear the number of the beast. We know the number is 666, either their forehead or in their hand. Now, who would ever walk around with a number on their forehead, like a tattoo, or on their hands a tattoo? Well, a lot of people would, but not everybody. But if you had a chip you could put in somebody's head, if you had something that wasn't obvious, but, you know, like a vaccination, if you had to have something like that, and you couldn't buy or sell. You realize how close we are to that very thing right now? There are people talking about if you don't get the vaccine, you're not going to be allowed to go out of state. You're not going to be allowed to fly. They're talking about this. Now, I don't know what's going to happen, but this is out there. And you won't be able to buy groceries, use your credit card. They're going to start separating people. Or they're trying to. I don't know if they will. But if you don't get the vaccine, then, already people are being scorned. If you just don't wear a mask, people are being beat up, arrested. Some people have been killed, shot to death because they weren't wearing a mask. We can imagine what it would be like in that day. And we don't know the details of how it will happen. But right now, I think if the world heard for the sake, whether it be some pandemic or safety of some other reason, or just some leader said, for the sake of unity, everybody has to fall in line and take the mark. And if you don't do that, you're going to be scorned and ridiculed. And we know there are going to be people actually killed because they didn't take that mark. We're not far from that right now. If the rapture occurred and the tribulation began, boy, people say, yeah, get in line, get me an appointment. Get on my laptop, get on my computer, and try and get there as quick as I can. It's amazing that people just fall in line. That's where we are. I mean, we are in a different world. So we understand the necessity of repentance. And apart from that, people blindly just follow the devil and the ways of the world. So we see how it affects individual people. That was the practice of mankind. The second thing is the perception of God. how did they perceive God in the days of Noah? Let's go back to Genesis chapter 6. It says that God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And then verses 11 and 12, the earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. I don't know what it had been like to live in a day like that. But would you want to send your kids to a school when everything is corrupt, there's violence and fighting and wickedness? No, you wouldn't want to do that. Would you want to be part of any aspect of the world, activities going on when there's violence and fighting and things like that? No, you don't want to be a part of that. That was a day of Noah. Nothing was hidden from the eyes of God. God saw it all. He saw everything that was happening. And every man, he states it, did what was right in his own eyes. So he saw the sin, the corruption, the violence that filled the earth. Says he saw it. He sees everything's going on today. He sees us. He sees what we are doing. So in the days now, there's neither anything hidden from the eyes of God. The Word of God tells us in many scriptures that all things are naked and open before him. He sees it all. In 2 Chronicles 16:9 says, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth. Psalm 33:13, the Lord looketh from heaven, he beholdeth all the sons of men. From the place of his habitation, he looketh upon all the inhabitants of the earth. And then in the book of Proverbs 15:3, the eyes of the Lord are everywhere, beholding the good and the evil and the good. Job also made this statement, 34 and verse 21. His eyes are upon the ways of man. He seeth all his goings. Psalm 14, verse 2. The Lord looketh down from heaven upon the children of men. So there is a divine perception of what happens. Now, people can try to rewrite history and cancel history, or they can do what they want. But God knows. You can't change the truth. He knows the truth. Right. And people can try and make something that's a lie the truth, but he knows the truth. He has a divine purpose. He said that they are all going to sigh. They're all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. They call not upon the Lord. It doesn't matter what people say. They can try to cancel Christianity and somehow discredit God. And we don't believe in God. We don't need God. Keep God out of our lives. But it doesn't change the fact he's still there.
Right.
He's still on the throne. He's still in control. And someday they'll have to give account of their lives to him. So there is a declaration. He said, consider all your words and ways. They're all known to God. And in Revelation, it talks about all the unsaved stand before a great white throne. And they're going to be judged out of the books. And a book was opened, another book, and all the things that people did. They were judged according to their works.
Right.
Listen, we're not saved by our good deeds. We're not saved by works. The Bible says we're saved by grace through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast.
Right.
We are saved by faith alone. But if a person's not saved, they will be judged by their works.
Right.
For the saved will be judged by, is the blood of Christ applied to our lives? If the blood covers our sin, it's erased, it's gone, it's forgiven. But if it's not, people will be judged according to their works. Every deceitful deed, every act of violence, every corrupt thing will be brought to forefront. And that will be stated, here's what you did. Here you rejected the preaching of the gospel. You threw away that tract. Here you took advantage of people. Here you hurt people. You lived a selfish life. Now they'll be cast into the lake of fire. Revelation chapter 20 describes all these things. They'll be judged according to their works. So if a person does not get saved, there's going to be degrees of judgment. There's going to be worse for some that heard. Like Capernaum is the place where Jesus had his ministry, the north part of the Sea of Galilee. But he said, if you don't hear, you've had the gospel over and over and over again, it's going to be worse for you than Sodom and Gomorrah. That's interesting. The person that is exposed to the gospel the most would have the greatest accountability. I'm not sure how that'll work. I don't know how judgment will be, but he said it'll be worse for them than it would be for anyone else. Then we see the third thing, the pronouncement of God, beginning in the days of Noah. So it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is before me. For the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. And behold, I, even I, do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. Because of the condition of mankind, because of his sin, violence, corruption, and all the things that man does, God pronounced judgment on all men. That was what God had to say. Judgment is coming. I can't imagine what it had been like when the flood occurred. The water came from beneath, it came from above. Evidently, volcanoes erupted. It changed the landscape of the world. It was an unbelievable, powerful thing. Water is a very powerful thing. They say when a hurricane comes through, I don't know anybody, you lived in Florida for a while, but you were far from the coast, but it's water that damages everything. I mean, we had a little flood in our house this last year. The town came through and they raised the highway, and all the water from the road sprinkling running into my house. And we had 2 inches of water cover the whole basement. And I'm down there. My neighbor came over, fortunately, to help me, and we're getting rid of that water out of the house. That was enough. I mean, it's disconcerting, to say the least. But imagine, fills up the whole house. You're staying on top of the house, and that's not good enough. You're trying to run, trying to escape. Where I came from, we didn't do trout fishing, and this guy, maybe we've been here 2 or 3 years, and he said, hey, I'm going to take you fishing the trout. We're going to the Farmington River. Well, my thing is that the fishing is always better a little bit farther. You know, wherever you're at, just go a little bit farther. And I had on my waders, and I'm going out in the Farmington River, and I got out almost the middle of the Farmington River, and it suddenly occurred to me, this is not good. The water's going to sweep me away, going to catch my boots, and I'm going to be in the bottom of the Farmington River. It was powerful, and I'm only in 4 feet of water. But it was powerful. I mean, I got that sense. I was in Costa Rica once, and I had an undertow that the missionaries' kids playing around in the water, and I stood out there with them, and boy, you could feel the power of that water. I'm just on the edge of it. Could you imagine what that would be like, how frightful that would be? You wonder how many people are beating on the ark trying to get in. They're thinking, you know, you were right all along, but it's too late. It was too late. Amen. How sad would that be? God said, judgment is coming. That's what he said. Noah believed him. No one else believed him till the flood took them all away. In Matthew 24, verse 39, that basically says the judgment upon God's people, like Noah's day, it's going to come at appointed time in their day. And they won't understand or believe this is going to happen, but it does. Genesis chapter 7, it says in verse 11, in the 600th year on Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, the same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up and the windows of heaven were open. See, God knew the time. God said, it tells us specifically, it's on this day. That's what will happen at the rapture. That's what will come. What happened to the coming of the Son of Man. They may know generally when it occurs, but not specifically. It's in his hands. But there will be a day. That day will come. Now, the days of today, compare the days of Noah. God has warned through the Word of God that there is judgment. There will be a time coming. The rapture will occur. A tribulation will occur. Acts 17:30 says, God now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. God said there's going to be a day. The day and hour knoweth no man, but there's going to be a day. God knows. And that's it.
That's right.
You might think, oh, that's never going to happen. Never going to happen. Until it does happen. And then it's too late. God commands and demands repentance because judgment is coming. John 5 and verse 22, it says, "The Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son." 2 Thessalonians 1, 7, "The Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ." Just like the flood came and took them away. Judgment delayed is not judgment postponed. It may not happen yet, but it will. Maybe they haven't seen the judgment of God now, but someday it will happen. Just like the Word of God says. "The Lord knoweth how to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished," Peter said. And then we see the provision of God. This is the good news. In the days of Noah, we see that he told them to make an ark. God protected them. On one hand, we see the judgment of God. On the other hand, the grace of God. That's always the way it is. If we turn to him, we can receive his grace. I don't know about you, but just feel so humbled every time you come to church that God saved me. And I can be here and I'm among Christian people. And I'm not caught up in all these things of the world, that I can live for God. Took his family into the ark and they were safe. God provided a place of safety. And he does that for people today. And I really believe, like in the days of Noah, just be faithful. Keep preaching, telling people about Christ. We're mailing out these books to people. Just going to keep doing it. I don't know that people will be greatly responsive, but if we help somebody, it's worth it. One of the mission fields I went on is in the Dominican Republic. My brother was there for a period of time, and I think we were there 4 or 5 different times. And it was a country or an island where they were coming out of being a third world country and developing a middle class. And it was becoming more prominent, although still a lot of poverty there. But the general attitude of people was, "Oh, you're a Christian people, you're a preacher. Oh, that's good. That's a wonderful thing." That's the way it was in America in the 60s and 50s. People thought highly. Really up until about 30 or 40 years ago. If you're a believer, if you're even in a church or religion, anybody that was religious, that's a good thing. There's no thought of that in the world today. But that's the way it was. People thought highly of anyone who's a Christian. But it will not be that way in the end time. And that's where we are now. But they need to hear the truth that God loved the world. He loves them. He died for them, that if they put their faith and trust in him, they can be saved. The Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. He came into this world to save sinners. That's why he came. And that is our job as the church of God, to get out the gospel. And then the plea of God. In the days of Noah, the Lord said to Noah, "Come thou all thy house into the ark." And they did. They followed. They went in. Noah did according to all that the Lord commanded him. Noah went in, his sons and his wife, his sons' wives with him, into the ark because of the waters of the flood. I suppose they could have complained a little bit. You get on that ark a long time, all the animals, somebody might say, "Well, you know, this is not very comfortable. This is smelly. When are we going to get off the ark? How long is this going to take?" I mean, they could have complained. I don't know. But one thing's for sure, they had to appreciate the fact that they were safe. They were protected, and they got on that ark. Somebody might have got seasick. I would have. All the turmoil in the water, and you know, the ark was made in such a specific way, it was almost unsinkable. It was very unique how they've made replicas of it and put it in water as an experiment and made waves and things. And it's just almost unsinkable. But it doesn't mean that it was smooth sailing. It wasn't a cruise ship. But they were safe. They did what God told them to do. They went into the ark, God shut the door of the ark, and they were saved. until it was time to come out. God pleaded with them. It was necessary to take shelter in the ark, and it's no less necessary today for people to find safety in the ark of Jesus Christ and his salvation.
Amen.
The Bible says that they were to come thou and all thy house into the ark. And Jesus said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest.
Amen.
The door is open. Whosoever may come, drink of the water of life freely. We see a lot of comparisons of days of Noah with the day in which we live. It's important to remember it's going to get worse during the tribulation period. I don't know that it'll get worse between now and then till the rapture occurs. But right now, it seems daily it does get worse. Maybe it'll change. But we know when the tribulation occurs, it's not going to get better.
Right.
It is all set in stone. It's in the Word of God. It is the truth.
Yeah.
Then it'll be too late. That's why people need to be saved now. Accept Christ now, because you don't know when the rapture will take place. You don't know when judgment will come. But we want to be ready when it does. Let's bow for prayer.